Children bring a lot of joy. There's seats up at the front if anybody needs seats. There's lots of seats now that children have gone out. And the children very often make us smile and make us laugh, don't they? Even in church. There was a little boy, he was attending his first wedding. After the service, his cousin asked him, "How many women can a man marry?" 16, the boy responded. His cousin was amazed that he knew the answer so quickly. "How do you know that?" "Easy," the little boy said. "All you have to do is add it all up. Like the minister said, 4 better, 4 worse, 4 richer, 4 poorer." Terry asked her Sunday school class to draw pictures of their favourite Bible stories. She was puzzled by Kyle's picture, which showed 4 people in an aeroplane. So she asked him which story it was meant to represent. "The flight to Egypt," Kyle said. "Oh, I see. That must be Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus," Terry said. "But who's the 4th person?" "Oh, that's Pontius the pilot." And the last one, which is a funny one, but actually has a really serious note to it as well. After the christening, we are not having a christening today, so we're okay. But some people do. After the christening of the baby brother in church, little Johnny sobbed all the way home in the back seat of the car. His father asked him 3 times what was wrong. Finally, the boy replied, "The priest said he wanted us to be brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys." Seriously, this is not a christening. I want to make this very clear. Christening and dedications are completely separate things. It is not the same. It's really important that we understand that. I want us to go, if you can put up the first scripture, Mark 10. Let's look at the first scripture. In the scripture, what we see, and we are looking at Mark 10, 13 to 16, and this is in the New Living Translation. It makes it nice and easy for everyone to understand. One day, some parent brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter in." Then he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on their heads, and blessed them. Jesus blessed the little children. They were just kids. They were just playing. They did not understand the sermon. So when children are small and they don't understand, even from when they are babies, we bring them and dedicate them to Jesus. Later on, they need to make their own decision. It is in christening, it's a very dangerous theology, because in some quarters it is taught that by the christening you are entering into the kingdom of God. That is not in the Bible. The Bible says you must be born again. Who? You. Not your parents. Every person has to make their own decision. God has no grandchildren, because every person has to decide for themselves. But today is a joyous occasion, because we are dedicating Jamie and Christy's 2 beautiful children and we're dedicating them to the Lord. Jesus was dedicated himself. He is our best example. Let's go to Luke 2, verses 21 and 22. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for the purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. They took him to present him to the Lord. That is what we are doing today. We are presenting these small children to the Lord. It is powerful. It is beautiful. It's important. It's a wonderful decision the parents have made today to present their children to the Lord. So they are presented to the Lord, but in a sense it's also a parent dedication. Because the parents today, Jamie and Christy, are making a confession that to the best of their ability, they will bring their children up in the ways of the Lord, according to Scripture. To dedicate is to place at one's disposal, to dedicate once and for all, to surrender as an offering to God. That is what this word, to present him to the Lord. This word present means to dedicate. To dedicate once and for all. And we have the very same word used in the Hebrew language when we go to Romans 12:1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Because of all he has done for you, let them be a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Now for those of you that King James, you know that the way that is written in King James, it says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. So in this Scripture, it says in the New King James that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. To present your bodies. So that's for all of us. What is Paul saying? He says, I urge you, I beseech you, I urge you, come on, he's saying, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. When you read the Old Testament, they have made sacrifices of animals. Those animals were dead. We are all alive. But we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice because we are still alive. We present ourselves as an offering to the Lord. It's the same word as what we say when Mary and Joseph took Jesus to present him to the Lord. And that's what we're doing today. We are presenting the two children to the Lord, saying once and for all, they belong to the Lord. It's a wonderful, wonderful scripture. And it's something that for all of us, children, Psalm 127:3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children are a gift from God. God has entrusted you with the care of the children. Ultimately, they belong to God. But you've been given the responsibility as parents. And as much as this message today is for Jamie and Christy, it's for all parents here. And those of you that are very young, parents-to-be. To be paying attention to the words of the Lord. This is the way that God has set things up. We must listen to Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 7. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. This is very straightforward command from the Lord to every parent. God is saying to you, you yourself must love the Lord with everything in you. And you must know the law of God. You need to know God's rules. The whole universe runs by God's rules. And then God says, repeat them again and again to your children. Repeat them again and again. Talk about it when you're at home. Talk about it when you're in the car. Talk about it on the train. Talk about it on your holiday. Talk about it when you put your children to bed. Talk about it when you wake them up. Parents, take advantage when your children are small, because I'm telling you, there comes an age they won't want to listen to you anymore. So you have to do this while they will listen. When they are young, they will listen. Most children don't really want to go to bed. So what do they say after you've given them that story? Oh, can I have another one? Take the opportunity. Come on, mums and dads. Take that opportunity and teach them. Repeat them again and again to your children, God says. Take that opportunity and teach them the way of God. You know your child. You know your children. You know what age they're at. You know their level of comprehension. You are gifted to speak their language, to speak God's message into the heart in a way that they can comprehend. It's very powerful. This is your responsibility. And it's a blessing, isn't it? Imagine that God has picked us to be parents. Imagine that God has trusted us. He has. He has. So when your child says, tell me another story, Daddy, you do that. You do that. Life is challenging. Life can be very busy. Make sure, though, that you set aside quality time. And in that quality time, that you put across to your children, it is your responsibility. This cannot be outsourced. You do not pay another person to do this for you. If you are a parent, it's on your shoulders. Yes, the church is here to stand with you and to join with you. Yes, you have friends, you maybe have grandparents, you maybe have neighbors that are believers that help, but ultimately it's on your shoulders as parents to teach God's law to your children. Every child is unique. Every child has a unique destiny. Remember, their destiny is given by God. It's not actually given by you, but it's given by God. And you want to encourage them to seek that out as they grow. And you want to encourage them and nurture them to step into the dreams that God has put into their lives. You need to teach them right from wrong. Why? Because deviating from the law of God has got consequences. The wages of sin is death. And as we deviate from the law of God, we lose the protection. God does not bless sin. Sin is still sin. It has not changed just because BBC has changed it.
Amen.
It has not changed. And as parents, we teach what God teaches in the Word, not what is necessarily popular. Why? Because you love your children. And you want them to be protected. And you want them to be well informed so that when they come to make their life decisions, you hope and pray. You pray and trust God that they will make the right decisions. Yes, they will make mistakes. Come on, did you not make mistakes? I've made mistakes. We've all made wrong decisions in our life. But you hope that the really important decisions, that they will remember the words of God that you put inside of them, that you've explained it, and that you've lived as an example for them. It's not just what you say. They watch. Oh, yeah. It's no good parents telling their children you should be going to church, but you don't bother going yourself. Melvin and I have seen this with friends that fell out with people in the church and stopped going to church for 3 years. 3 years is a long time for children. And so what happened to the children 3 years later? Off on another road. It can happen. It can happen. While your children are small, you must prioritize the spiritual well-being of your child. And you show yourself faithful to the house of God so that your child sees you're doing it. That speaks a lot more than just reading it from the Bible. This is really important, to be faithful to the Lord. Today is a difficult day for children to be brought up in the natural. The so-called progressive thinking has deviated very far from the Word of God. But you teach them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. The girls just read it out, didn't they? They read it out so beautifully this morning. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And we are made in the image of God. You teach your child they're made in the image of God. Male and female, He made them. There's no confusion. It's the kingdom of God. There's no confusion. You teach them they're made in the image of God. It is precious. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. It doesn't mean that life is all rosy. There will be ups and downs. But it's who they are. Something to be treasured, not to be trampled on. Not to be trampled on. And you must protect your young children from dangers. I might upset some, I don't know. But I want to warn you about what you let their little eyes see. I want to warn you about television, but even more so, I want to warn you, when you're so tired and exhausted and you just throw them a computer or a tablet and they play whatever games, I am warning you, you must know what they are watching and you must check it out. You must check it out. It just breaks my heart. We've seen very young children demonized from computer games. Yes, a demon entering in through a computer game. Why? Because think about it. When we are children and we are in a game, we are playing something, your whole imagination, you imagine that you're there. You completely open up your soul for that game. That's fine if you're playing a game of football or you're playing Ludo. But once you're into computer games that are breaking the law of God, that glorifying death, glorifying violence, there will be demons looking to enter into these young hearts. And we've seen very young children from godly parents. So this is no good. You must watch. How do you expect a little child to be able to discern this? So parents, you have to check it all out. If you want to be saved, just stick with Superbook. Just stick with Superbook. Yes, your children will cry, but you're the one that's looking after their well-being. So it's really important to watch what they see and what they hear. The good news says, if something goes wrong, that is deliverance. But don't put your child through trauma if it can be avoided. Protect your children against the evil one. As we live the best that we can, it's important also to be real with our children, isn't it? And it's such a balance. There's not always a right or wrong answer. I'd be interested to see what the mums and dads that are here today, what you would do in this scenario. So listen to this story. This little girl loved the goldfish. Her favorite one was Goldie. Before she went to bed, she looked at the fish tank, and Goldie's looking really poorly, and Mummy says, yes, she's not got much time left. They go to bed, they're to say the prayer, and before Mummy knows it, the little girl says, God, please heal Goldie and make her all completely new by tomorrow morning. Amen, thank you that you will do it. And she goes to sleep, and Mummy's like, oh, what do I do? This particular mum waits till she goes to sleep and rushes out to the nearest pet shop with a picture of Goldie. I need another goldfish that looks exactly like this. And then next morning when the girl comes up and looks, oh, I knew God would do it. Look, he's even made Goldie fatter than she was before. The things we do to protect our children, you can kind of see yourself in something similar. Would you do this? Is this something you would do? Put your hand up. Do you think you would do this? And who would definitely not do it? Put your hand up. Yeah. That just shows you there's not a right or a wrong. There's not a right or a wrong. But there comes a time in life where we have to teach our children to be real. Yes? And we need to teach children that there will be a day where they will be disappointed in themselves. There will be a day where they will be disappointed with others. And there will be a day where they will potentially be disappointed with God because they asked God to do X, Y, and Z, but God did something else. There are difficult lessons that somehow we need to get this across. So my advice here is to be real. To be real at a level that's appropriate for that age and the maturity of the child. But you will not be able to sugarcoat the world forever. And there was a testimony on Friday night. And in the testimony, this person said, when I was 11, my grandparent died, and I was so disappointed that God could let that happen, so I walked away from church. That is sad, isn't it? Because you see, if God waits to take people home from this life until we are ready to let them go, this world would be totally overpopulated, wouldn't it? Nobody will ever let go of their grandparents or whatever. But we do need to teach our children that this is part of life. It is in the Bible. We need to teach them so that they know. And I think as we go through difficulties in life, remember they are watching. It's not so much the difficulty, but they are watching you, mum and dad, how you react. They're watching how you're reacting. That's the important thing. Because good and bad things will happen to everybody. How we respond shows if you're walking with God or not. You see? So that's the important thing that we want to. And I think as part of that, it's actually good to be vulnerable with children in a way they can understand, so that if we have mistreated or misspoken, that we apologize. Let the children hear you apologize if that is what is needed. That is not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of being a godly person. Because we do make mistakes. And you want to show the children by example, so they know, if I mess up, I can apologize. It is fun to have children and to teach them to talk to God, to hear the Holy Spirit. Many of you know the little exercise you can do with your children. You can say to the children, where's Jesus in the room? By the way, where's Jesus in the room just now? What does it say about God in Scripture? He's omnipresent. So if one child says on the orange seat and the other one says standing down there, they're both right. So this is a great exercise. It makes them focus on where is Jesus. And just small children are very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Nurture that. Nurture that from a very small age. Let them know it is normal to be aware of Jesus being with you. Because the Scripture says, I never leave you, I never forsake you. Make them aware of that from a very small age. You want to nurture their relationship with God so when they are older, they will choose to love Him. That's what you want to do. Start from when they are young. When your child says, I've seen an angel, don't be surprised. Why? Because Scripture tells us everyone has a guardian angel. So there is always an angel, at least one angel. Nurture them in the way of the Spirit, so they not only hear God's word, but they learn and expect to experience Jesus. So they know Jesus is real and I can experience Him in my life. Now, it's also important, though, as parents, that you stand on that with your children, that you are the leader and they are the child. Because in today's society, it's all upside down. In the end of the day, that is the way God has set it up, that you are the parent, so you're the responsible one and they are the child. And they need to learn to live with that so that you can set boundaries that make them feel safe and keep them safe. That's important. Through everything, I would say the most important thing as parent is that you teach them that they belong and they are loved. You might not be able to give them a private education. You might not be able to make every dream come true, but you can let them know in every possible way that they belong and they are loved. Through everything. Remember to separate behavior from the person. So we don't say to the child, you're a bad boy. No, no. We say that behavior is not correct. You pull out the behavior as opposed to the person. You see, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. It's very important. children know if we care and they can sense it. And even if you've got busy times, remember, according to the Word of God, your children are your number one responsibility. Your children come before the church. You don't want your children to turn away from God because you were putting church above them. Why? God puts you first. Let's put our children first as a top priority. In Rob Parsons' book, he wrote this, which I think is just amazing. You may be ashamed of things your children have done, but never be ashamed of them. That's really powerful, isn't it? You may be ashamed they've done something really terrible, but you must let them know that you're never ashamed of them, no matter how low or how different they turn out from what you wanted. Never be ashamed of your children. They have to know they belong. They have to know that they are loved. This is a special message to all fathers. Do you know in Scripture fathers are very important? The father role is different from the mother's role, regardless of what media will tell you. The father's role is different. The father role is very important. How do you think your little child gets an understanding of Father God? Where are they going to see that played out? In you. In you. Not in the mother, no. It is the father. The father represents Father God. That is how the child learns what a father is. I know it's a heavy responsibility, but God will give you the grace. Doesn't mean you're perfect. But remember, you are representing Father God to your children. Isn't that awesome? That is how God has set it up. And don't panic. Because if you seek wisdom, God will give it to you. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. In the Message translation, it says, fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. This is also an important scripture. Because remember, as a father, you are representing Father God. But if you are too harsh, the child could potentially start to imagine, Father God is always angry with me. I am never good enough. I am no good. And you don't want them to have the wrong picture of the father. So that's why it's important. And this is for all parents, of course, that we portray that they are always loved and that they always belong. So as parents, we should be fathers and mothers, not teachers. The teacher says, that's right and that's wrong. But a parent, what does a parent do? When little Joe is stuck in putting his Lego castle together, the parent will get down on their hands and knees, down at the eye level of the child, and help them, and show piece by piece how you do it. So it's this doing life together, it's going down to their level and doing it together. That's being a father and mother, but the teacher will just give the instructions. But the father and the mother, and all of us, of course, are called to be spiritual fathers and mothers. That's why this is a support network when you come into church. The last point I want to bring out I've got another quote from Rob Parsons' book. He says, the scary thing about children isn't that they don't listen to us, but that they do. Every word counts. Every action is formative. Nothing is lost. So your words are very important. When a young couple gets married, it's joyful to be together. You share all your thoughts. Two become one. We can talk about everything. But once you have children in the household, you have to think about, is this appropriate to say in front of my child? This is actually very, very important. Because a lot of children who have been brought up in a church environment have wondered, and it's because of negative talk. The scripture tells us life or death is in the tongue. So we need to be really, really careful what we say. It's not wise to speak negative about the people in the church at all. But it certainly is not wise to do it in front of children. Because you think they're not listening? Oh, I'm telling you, they pick it up. And my brother in Denmark, him and his wife, they had four boys. And my brother was called into ministry, and he said him and his wife decided at a very young age that they would never say anything negative or discuss any church business in front of the children. And when they used to go to visit, by this time the boys were mature. And my nephew said to me, I never knew that. I never knew that that couple had split. I never knew that. My father doesn't tell me anything. That's what my nephew said to me. So my brother and his wife did an excellent job in protecting their children. Why? Because as shepherds, sometimes some things have to be discussed, but not in front of children. No, it is not that they are unnaturally protected, but you really need to use judgment, and you need to know what the scripture teaches. So I think it's really good advice to be very, very careful and don't speak negative. Don't speak negative. So the final thing to say is, you cannot have the responsibility of making your children come to Christ. You can show the way. You can be a great example. You can pray. But remember, who brings them to God? Jesus does, the Holy Spirit. Who convicts them of sin? The Holy Spirit does. Who saves them from sin? Jesus does. So have your faith in God. Don't think it's going to be your excellent lifestyle ultimately the leader. Yes, you're trusting God and you quote all the promises and you pray. Sometimes we have to fast for our children. It worked, I'm telling you. But it's not your responsibility to save them. There's a difference. Because if you feel you're responsible for their salvation, your shoulders are going to collapse. It is too much. That is for Jesus and not for you. But with God's help, live at home, live in church, live at your work as an example, so that their young hearts will soften up towards Him and we can pray and believe that they too one day will choose to follow Jesus. Amen.